Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
It's a great, good day, and welcome to the last Saturday in July of 2017. We are in the clubhouse, and our guest this morning, Matt Adams, Golf Channel host and reporter, focuses on business and equipment. But last weekend, the host of Fairways of Life was doing play-by-play for the Open World feed with Jordan Spieth and Matt Kuchar Saturday and Sunday. So we're going to talk with Matt all about that. Lewin Mayer, golf correspondent, Global Golf Post. She's over in Scotland covering the Aberdeen Ladies Scottish Open. Matt Cooper, freelance golf writer. He'll be heading to Rico Women's British Open. Scott Bridges, director of golf over at Ke'olu at Hualalai. And farmer Lee Jones, the founder and co-owner of The Chef's Garden, will be with us. But first, we've got to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Allen Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Allen Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
And I just want to thank all the people who make this show possible, including Need Help. That's what you got to focus on. Need help, 548-7526. Yes, indeed. If you need help, and you know what I'm talking about, and if you don't, I'll have more about that coming up in the show, 548-7526. Last weekend, Matt Adams was doing play-by-play for the Open World Television feed. Can you imagine with Jordan Spieth and Matt Kuchar Saturday and Sunday? Matt Adams is the Golf Channel reporter, host. You know that he's host of Fairways of Life, and now he's in the clubhouse, but he's also standing by because he's traveling one more time. He's on the road again. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Hey, Danielle, how are you?
Excellent. I'm so glad to have you on the show. And I got to ask you, what was your initial reaction when Jordan Spieth hit his drive off the tee at 13 and went wayward?
Well, what happened there is that when you come off the green at 12, and you go up to the 13th tee box, you're actually walking up to the top of a dune. They cut off the top of the dune, and that's where they put the tee box. So when we walked off 12 and up behind 13, normally what we do is we get in front of the players so that we can see where the shot goes. But it's so congested up there, we were actually stuck on the tee. So I was standing alongside of the tee box when Jordan hit his shot. And obviously we could tell that he blocked it, that it was going right. You could tell by his swing path as well as his reaction to it. So we knew it was right, but we didn't know how far right it was. And then when we got down into the fairway and the main host came out to us and said, Maddie, can you see where that ball went? Can you see it? We thought it was on the inside of the dune because it was a big circle of people there. And usually they circle around the ball until the player shows up. So they're standing near them. And it was really thick and there were a lot of brambles and very, very, very heavy, dense, rough. And only after that did we find out, because we saw Jordan scale the dune, that the ball had struck a man on the right side of his skull and had ricocheted over the dune as a result. So it was very confusing there for a long time for everybody.
The first thing is like, what a bad bounce. I mean, it's terrible. How's the guy?
He didn't look good. I don't know what eventually happened to him, but he went down and he went down hard.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After he got struck in the head.
That's awful. That's part of the event that we didn't see, because everything was focused on what was Jordan Spieth going to do? How was he going to recover? But let's set the stage, because I don't think people realize that you are on the grounds walking with the players when you're doing the play-by-play.
Yes, yeah, we are. We're right there with them. And ironically, I was actually with, normally you, during the course of four rounds, you get, you know, you're doing two groups on Thursday, two groups on Friday morning, afternoon on Thursday and Friday, and then two groups, of course, on one on Saturday, one on Sunday. For some reason, there was great consistency this year, and it's just kind of a random draw by based on where they need the people to go at the time. And I was with Brooks Koepka for his first 2 days, and then I was with Jordan and Matt Kuchar both on Saturday and on Sunday. And that's kind of rare, but as a result, it allowed me to kind of start to piece together an understanding about how Jordan won this championship and how obviously its roots go back to Thursday, but in terms of what he did to actually secure it over the weekend, I watched every piece of it. And it was really interesting to see how his anxiety was starting to build up on Thursday afternoon. I think about a putt that he made at 14 on Saturday. It was about 3 feet. And a lot of people said to me, what do you think the shots were that really won him the Open? And I honestly think it was that 3-footer at 14 on Saturday that was one of them, because he was really nervy. And when Jordan gets nervy, he rocks his shoulders back and forth. You can tell that he's not comfortable with the line. He backed off 2-3 times before he finally stepped in. And he does this thing right before he pulls the trigger, right before he takes the putter and puts it down behind the ball and ratchets forward press twice. He takes his left hand and he wipes off the face, whether there's debris on there or not. It's just part of his routine. And I watched him going through all this, and my instinct was he doesn't trust that he's going to make this putt. He's going to miss this putt. And he really got in there and he grinded it out and he made the putt at 14. And I think it was a really, really important putt for him to make at that time and place. So yeah, it was pretty remarkable to see it that close up.
I bet. Now, when I watched Jordan work the rules out, I thought he needed to avoid walking back to the tee, because walking back to the tee would be like conceding defeat on that drive, on that hole. To me, it seemed Jordan Spieth, by figuring out how he could best play that drive from where it ended up, was really the momentum building, kind of like time harnessing. He became in charge, in control. And it was that decision that propelled him to the victory of those amazing last five holes. But everybody was saying, why doesn't he just go back to the tee? I thought he made the perfect decision.
Yeah, well, ultimately he did. But the shot, which I'll tell you about in a second, that was remarkable, was what was the fourth shot in the hole because of the penalty stroke, the third time that he actually put club to ball. I spoke with Michael Greller after the victory, and Michael told me that as soon as they found the ball, that everything slowed down for them. Everything calmed down for them. They knew that they were back in control of the situation. I can tell you this. I believe that if his golf ball did not strike that man in the side of his skull in ricochet such as it did as a result, he never would have found that first golf ball. It was so thick and so heavy over there that I think that golf ball would have been lost.
Wow.
In those bushes, and he would have had to have gone back to the tee, and that could have changed everything. Because remember, Matt Kuchar hit a great drive, and he was in good shape. But the fourth shot or third time that was clubbed was the ball on the 13th hole was probably the best shot that I watched Jordan hit in the time that I was with him, certainly over a Saturday and Sunday. I'm not sure if you could tell on television, but there was a bunker front right of that green. And the ground was sloped towards the bunker on the front end, as you can imagine. So his ball was sitting on a downslope away from him, revetted face high and above him. And on the backside of the revetted face, as you can imagine, the ground sloped away from him and to the left. And the flag was cut at the end of that slope, on the right side of the slope, in fact. So when he hit that shot, he had to barely carry the top of the bunker. He easily could have caught the top of it, trundled down into the bunker. And then we probably would be talking about a different Open champion, 2017. It barely skirted over the top, trundled down over that slope that I was telling you about to the left. I was with Paul Eales, who's a winner on the European Tour. He's the reigning senior Scottish Open champion. And I said to him, how close can we expect him to get this shot before he hit it? He said, if he gets it to 20 feet, it's a brilliant shot. Well, as you saw, he got it to about 8 feet. He split the hole with the bogey putt. And that, to me, was the point in time and place. That particular shot was the one that secured his victory.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, because when he made bogey on that hole, he was charging. And there was almost like, there is no giving up. I am in control. I am dominant. I am king. And it was interesting. It was kind of like everybody wants to crown. King is dead. Long live the king. Where's our new king? And everybody wants to crown Jordan Spieth as the king. And that happens. It happened in 2015. Then comes Jason Day. Then comes Rory McIlroy was before Jordan. You know, so what is it about us that we need to find the man in the mix?
Well, I think it's a couple different things. To your first point about after Jordan made that bogey, everything seemed to change. There's something about Jordan Spieth that, and Tiger was this way too, in that Tiger's was a chip on his shoulder. Tiger either needed to have an actual or an alleged or an interpreted reason that he could have this chip on his shoulder, and he went out there and would just decimate fields. You know, people would say that Tiger was very sensitive in that regard, almost overly sensitive in that regard. But yet, he used those situations to channel the champion within. Jordan does the same thing. His seems to come from anger, and it seems to come from anger at himself. And it causes him to, like, bear down and accomplish whatever stands before him, because after he went through that run and then had that bogey of 13. As we know, famously, he birdied 14 and eagled 15 and birdied 16 and birdied 17, and it was over. So, but to the latter point, the one of why is it important to have, you know, a reigning king or someone that is the one that we look to? I think it's important a couple different things. Who it is important, because the game of golf, as we know, needs someone that people from a fan's perspective can turn to and say, oh, how's so-and-so doing? Fill in the blank here. Right here, right now, at this point, it's Jordan Spieth. It doesn't always have to be Jordan Spieth week in or week out, or major in or major out. I think it's nice that some of the names that you listed, whether you're talking about Dustin Johnson right now, or, yes, Jordan, or Jason Day, if he finds his form again, or Rory, who seemingly is flashing into form again. I think it's fun having a group of young players, good players, rich players, people like that are near the top of the game. And if it is right now, maybe it is this month, maybe it'll be more than that. With Jordan Spieth, that's good too. They're all really good people, and they show really well for the game. So for all those reasons, that's why, yeah, I do think it's really fun.
And now you are a business reporter, and I enjoy on Golf Channel. This is Matt Adams. He is, you probably know, the host of Fairways of Life, but he's also now on Golf Channel, a reporter and a host, and he comes and talks about many different things, equipment, but also business. You're very astute, and I need to ask you, from a purely business point of view, can Jordan Spieth take, or any of the ones, you know, Dustin Johnson, take the place of Tiger Woods as an economic engine of our golf industry?
Not to the extent that Tiger did, because what Tiger would do is he would reach greater realms. Now, having said that, I have to qualify it, because what Tiger didn't do was Tiger never sold a tremendous amount of hard goods. And hard goods in our industry is the slang for irons and woods and golf balls. Nike thought that was going to happen when they signed on Tiger. They brought him on much the same as they did with Michael Jordan, and everyone wanted to be like Mike, and they wanted to wear his shoes and all the rest. And I think there was a presumption that if you get the number one player in the globe in Tiger Woods, the same thing was going to happen in equipment, we'd be swept up. But what's different about the game of golf than almost any other sport is that people have a relationship with their equipment that's not about who else plays it only. It's also about their personal relationship with it. Mm-hmm. That comes from a fitting experience. It comes from how you hit it compared to other clubs. It comes from what friend of yours was playing it at your club, and they love it, and all of those things. So there's a whole myriad of different reasons why people align themselves with a particular piece of equipment. I'd like to believe it's because it's the equipment that works best for them. That's not always the case, but I hopefully it's more often than not. So from that standpoint, where Tiger had his real strength and where he had a massive impact on the game was he brought people to the game in a non-traditional way. The game of golf has always traditionally measured itself by participation. That was a fault in the game of golf. We did it to ourselves. I wish we never had done that, because as a result, people measured us only by people who play, and that's an inaccurate measurement. Tiger swelled the growth of the game from people who would consume it in ways other than only playing it. Now I'm talking about television viewers. I'm talking about people that may go out, buy something that's associated with the game, like a piece of apparel. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter how you consume it. It could be putt-putt golf. It could be going through a driving range if that motivation was there. The game of golf is only now starting to wake up to the significance and the power of that demographic outside of the core. And nobody drove that demographic like Tiger Woods. Nobody. And I don't see any of the current crop, although I think they're brilliant. I don't see anybody yet having that impact.
I love what you just said. And it's so true. I mean, just Tiger makes people go, huh? You know, it's just, huh? It's automatically you want to know what he did, where he's at, and click, click, click. Right now in the world of social media, it's how many clicks. And he moves...
He moves the needle.
And it's such a silly statement, but it's true when it comes to the percentage of people who buy a newspaper, read an article online, look at a video. You're going to get the most hits when it's something about Tiger Woods than you might, although Jordan Spieth is up there. What's your reaction to this from Dan Jenkins, the golf writer, and he's on Twitter during the Opens now, and you know, all the major championships. Jordan has a touch on the greens, but he has to go 8 years without missing one before I say he's a better putter than Tiger was.
Yeah, that's quite remarkable when it comes from Dan anyway, because he's really not a big fan of Tiger Woods.
Exactly.
Usually through social media circles, he's criticizing him more than anything else. And where the line gets blurred and gets crossed with Tiger is, Tiger was not easy on the press. He just wasn't. So a lot of those guys that were there through that, I never really had a problem with Tiger Woods, to tell you the truth, but I didn't have a relationship with him like these other guys did, because they were commentators and their job was to place him in historic perspective. And again, bearing in mind that both through their own high regard for what they do and Tiger's sensitivity to the same, that it was sometimes a volatile relationship. That was the reason why they had the troubles that they had. And there still is lingering resentment on both sides. But what cannot be argued with anybody that has a reasonable view of where Tiger fits in the history of the game is that through a stretch of time, no one ever played the game with the proficiency of Tiger Woods. Through a career, I'd still give the nod to Jack Nicklaus by virtue of the fact that players judge themselves by major championships, and he has significantly more in four additional than Tiger Woods. That's straightforward, and every player would say the same thing. But in terms of what he did and how he did it during the time frame that he did it at the top of the world, nobody else came close to him. And the fact that someone like Dan Jenkins would admit that and say, yes, this is who this guy was and this is how special he was, I'd like to see more recognition. I don't think Tiger gets anywhere near the recognition he deserves for having all four major championship trophies on his mantle at the same time, just because it overlapped from one season to another. It still was four consecutive. It is absolutely remarkable, and I think it deserves as much accolades as Bobby Jones got from 1930 in his respective Grand Slam, which came during the year of 1930 instead of being spread out over two.
You're awesome, Matt Adams, NBC Golf Channel host and reporter, Morning Drive, Golf Central, host of Fairways of Life, New York Times bestselling author. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, Daniel.
Aloha. We're going to come back and head over to Scotland because it is the Aberdeen Ladies Scottish Open right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay at home, but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative. Meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene. See, home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7. It's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you, for your parents, insurance, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassles, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And as I say at the beginning of my show, thank the people who make this show possible. Well, Asset Management, Aberdeen Asset Management, ladies, Scottish Open is underway. In fact, they've just finished the third round, and man, what a leaderboard. This is really incredible to watch. And Lewin Mayer saw the incredible Open last weekend. Now in Scotland, welcome into the clubhouse again, Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you. I think we've got horrible weather here.
You have the weather now, what they expected to have the entire Open, I think. You know, the Open really got a break. A couple of days in the beginning, it was awful, but it wasn't near as bad as what everybody's experiencing, not just in Scotland, but they're also getting it in Wales, where the Senior Open's underway. So, but you were there for the conclusion of the Open. That must have been amazing.
It was absolutely amazing. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it, because the crowd were, you know, although they probably have much preferred a British winner, they really couldn't choose between Spieth and Kuchar, because they were such lovely competitors and they played in such a wonderful spirit. I actually felt quite sorry for Kuchar, because he's a big fellow, 6'4", and those little pot bunkers, you know, they really don't make a good fit for him. He was sort of looked so awkward when he got in them. I kept on thinking he ought to be aiming at bigger hazards where he had a bit more room to breathe.
If you're going to get in one, it should be one that fits you.
Well, that's right. I actually looked up his statistics after sort of having these strange thoughts. And in fact, his sand saves, he got 4 out of 8 against Rory McIlroy's 8 out of 9, I think it was.
So he was already handicapped by going into those bunkers. And, he was playing so well. It's not like Kuchar had a bad round. He shot 69, and so did Spieth. You know, it's not like Spieth had this fabulous round. It's just that closing five holes was just incredible. You know, the closing four, actually, after the bogey on 13, and just bringing it all back together. It was five holes, 13 and five, Danielle. Okay, so now we're in Scotland, the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Ladies Open. The weather is frightful, but the leaderboard, the women are, I'm looking at the women who are, one would, you know, Kari Webb is 42. Christy Kerr is close. She's 38, I think.
She doesn't like you saying her age.
Oh, sorry.
No, you can do. I don't mind saying it at the moment, because she's still only 39, but I wouldn't try that when she's 40, because she's quite funny when she won earlier in the year. Whatever she was then, and the press were sort of saying, "Jolly good at your age," or whatever. And she said nobody made a fuss about Sergio Garcia's age when he won the Masters, so let's keep off the subject.
Oh, that's good. That's really good, actually. You know, no, that's true. You know, let's get... I'm going to get self-righteous now. But I'm looking at this leaderboard. I saw Kari Webb and Christy Kerr tied for the top, tied for first. And then all of a sudden, Si-Yong Kim is in there with Christy dropping down, and Kari Webb and Si-Yong Kim going into the final round. tied for first at 6 under, and Christy Kerr at 4 under. What happened to Christy?
Well, I'm not sure what happened to Christy yet, because I'm actually had a very busy week. I went to the forum that they had at the start of the week, which was about women in sport and women versus men, etc. And I've also interviewed a very interesting English girl called Georgia Hall. And a fascinating little story I found out about her. It was back in 2013. She won the amateur award at the British Women's Open Championship, and it was a share with Lydia Ko.
Wow.
And the interesting thing, yeah, but at the end of the tournament, somebody said to Georgia, sorry, you've lost on a countback. So she set off for home, which was miles away on the south coast of England. And suddenly she got a phone call saying, can you come back? We've decided to give you a silver medal each. And she couldn't get back because she was at the train station. And so she never got to sort of stand on the podium and get her award with Ko. And she's sort of regretted that ever since.
I would too.
But she, yes, I know. It was such a shame. But anyhow, she's tied for sixth, which is a very good news for her, because she couldn't afford to turn pro when she was ready to. She just won the British Amateur, and she'd had that sharing of the silver medal at the Rico, and she didn't have enough money to turn. So, you know, her career hasn't been easy. She's not been exactly best along the way, but she's a really good golfer, and I think she's going to come through.
That's excellent. And it is hard. And we take for granted the girls that make it to the Symmetra Tour is because they have people behind them. They have people constantly giving them money to let them travel. That's the only way you can do it, because, or unless you live on the mainland and you drive like they did in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they were driving from place to place to place to place. It's not an easy life, and we have to give all of these young women and women who have made it credit for being so strong. This conference that you went to, tell us about that.
Well, it was all rather strange. It had a lot of the main person speaking was Ruth Davidson, who's the head of the Conservative Party in Scotland, and then you had high flyers from the world of business, sport, and everything else. And the main theme to be saying, I thought, because I was there for most of the time, was that aren't men useless as against women? It was quite and there were a couple of really funny things. I've got a note here. Rachel Short. Yes, she was a head of an organization called Why Women Work, and she's an organizational psychologist, and her findings had led her to believe that the various claims about women lacking confidence were all wrong. It was more a case of men being overconfident in the way they sell themselves, and how they can't usually back up their proud boasts. That wasn't very. There were a few men sitting in the room who looked paler by the moment, I have to say.
It sounds like a man bashing conference.
Oh, it was real man bashing, and then. Then what was it? I mean, Ruth Davidson was. Oh, I know what she didn't like. She didn't like these English types down in London who sort of swan around a room as if they own it in their monogrammed shirt cuff. And she says, you know, she thought they were absolutely ridiculous. And then someone else had a go at them. It just really went on. And I actually was feeling quite sorry, as I say, for these men.
Yeah, there comes.
It made me think. There comes a point where it's not very nice, and also, women in golf have made a fuss, but I don't think they've ever overdone it, like I heard these ladies talk the other day.
And that's, because women don't have the same advantages of the men when it comes to the sponsors and the spotlight, even though I've often heard it said that the women are actually better golfers than the men, if you compare the statistics their ability to get to the green consistently. But we won't talk about that, because that's just more man bashing. And we really don't want to do that. Most of us love one, you know?
I did think it could do with someone as measured as your good self on that panel.
Thank you. But watching Kari Webb and Christy Kerr in the conditions, the weather conditions, often it's said that the open winner is usually someone, didn't hold true this year, but usually someone in their mid or to late 30s. Because you have the experience, you're tenacious, you know that it's not going to be an end on the first round, the second round. You just have to keep playing, be steady, and get to the end. This year, it wasn't, but these women are sort of showing that, age doesn't mean anything. If you know the game, if you are steady and you get those shots in the right place and you pick your moment, you're gonna do just fine. It'll be interesting to see that. I think with Matt Kuchar, and I may be completely off the mark, but when I was watching, it seemed like he was tiring the last nine holes.
Well, I think he was feeling good until what happened. Well, he said he was even feeling good as he left the 13th, because he was one ahead at that point. But then, of course, Spieth hit him with that amazing near hole-in-one at the 14th. And as Spieth made those four birdies, a birdie, an eagle, and two more birdies in the space of five holes, Kuchar made two, and there was absolutely nothing he could do. And he was sort of two behind when they stood on the 18th. And then, in the 18th, you probably saw him, he was in one more bunker. And this time he couldn't get his legs into it at all. He was standing sort of with his legs above the ball, and he had a bad lie. So he knew then that he had no chance.
Yeah, it was really quite something to just watch. And I, as you said, and now Kuchar is here on the stateside, and he's playing again, feeling at times dizzy, but playing through it and doing well. And we have Bernard Langer with some kind of condition of his throat, laryngitis. He's doing fabulously, right, at the men's, senior open. So it's just so many people sometimes when they're playing under the weather, and I'm not talking about nature, I'm talking about not feeling well, we just do well. Lydia Ko missed the cut, hasn't won in a year. What's your take on that?
I'm really, really sorry she left David Ledbetter. I've never seen a coach who looks after his pupils better. I mean, he has a wonderful relationship with Michelle Wee. And I always thought, when I saw him with Lydia Ko, how good he was for her. They were always laughing and enjoying it. And, these coaches get a hard time, because I think the parents of some girls will, influence them in what they're doing. And it's no point, it's how often is it the coach's fault? I mean, why should they win all the time? Nobody does. Spieth wasn't winning all the time. I mean, you've got to be prepared to get these lulls. David wasn't panicking at all.
No. She changed so much. She changed the equipment. She changed her coach. She changed her caddy. Just a lot of change in the last year. And I think that may have contributed to the lull, but her play's just off, and I haven't been able to figure it out. And I'm not on the inside. Another one who I'm kind of perplexed about, Michelle's doing great, even after the neck pain incident. Her play is good this weekend in that horrendous weather. Aria Chittanagarn, she made the cut this week. But she doesn't seem to be happy.
No, I agree with that, what I've seen. But, I think we do, because they're winning so young, I think it's very tough for them to keep it up. There's a lot of expectations. These older ones know, that you've been talking about earlier, they know how to handle that kind of thing. But it's tough for these girls, because you only need a couple of people to say, oh, what's happened to you? And, they sort of feel terrible about themselves.
That's a very good point. Because it would happen to me, if I stumbled and trip and fall, and then it happens again. And even if nobody points it out, they're just kind of looking at you kind of askant, not really engaging, like when you're a winner and you're not engaged. Like when I'm a winner, I'm feeling all good about myself. How do you handle not feeling so great about yourself? Having that patience, that, being steady and moving forward.
I think the most awful thing, and I hate to see it, is the way that when a player is doing really well, you know, the courtesy car is waiting for him or her, and, you know, everything feels good. Suddenly, if you sort of miss the cut too many times, you're back in the bus. I mean, that, you know, and the courtesy cars whiz past you. And that must be, you know, a terrible moment when you're no longer, you know, seen as a celebrity. I think it's so hard for them to take. I'm amazed they're not sort of psychological wrecks.
You know, that is insight that we had no idea happened. When we see events come here, they all have a car. They all have somebody taking care of them. It never occurred to me that if you didn't win, you wouldn't have the same kind of treatment that everybody else had. So there's levels of treatment in that. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised. And I just am. All of this that's being played out today and tomorrow and next week at the Rico Women's British, the Solheim Cup standings, what we know who's going to be making the cup, the teams by the Monday after the Women's British?
No, you'll actually know on the next Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be happening at 9 o'clock at night.
Your time.
After they've finished. Yes, my time, yes.
Wow. So, yeah, that's exciting.
It is exciting. I mean, it's scary too. I mean, if we've got a moment to talk about it,
yes.
But I'm sort of wondering about Suzanne Pettersson and how she's going to react this year after what happened in 2015, you know, when she plucked up Alison, when she wouldn't give the hold to Alison Lee after the American girl had picked up a putt without it being given.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And Suzanne Pettersson got hell for it. I mean, she was actually in the right, but she wasn't thinking about how this was going to affect the Americans, because Julie Inkster then started, you know, talking about poor little Alison and soon had the rest of the Americans feeling desperately sorry for the girl. And a lot of our players knew precisely what was going to happen because Julie Inkster got them whipped up to a great extent and they were never going to win. You know, it was terrible. I'm afraid what happened in the Suzanne match cost Europe, you know, the win.
Interesting. The psychological
yes.
aspect of that, being able to use that to your advantage, that was very smart of Julie Inkster.
Very smart. Quite wily of Julie Inkster. But, you know, I now wonder with Suzanne is she going to be able to hit the right, a happy medium? She can't be too feisty and, look too competitive, and she can't look as though she's really terribly nice. I think it's going to be very difficult for her.
A tough place to be, but she is on the team already, right? I mean, she's already got the points.
Oh, yes.
Right, she's got the points.
Yes.
I'm looking at Carlotta Chikanda. She's making a huge
brilliant
statement.
Player.
Yes, brilliant player.
Very, yes. And, absolutely wonderful player, yeah.
And then there's a young lady that I don't think very many of us know, Ólafía Kristinsdóttir from Iceland. She goes to Wake Forest in the States, but she's actually from Iceland.
Oh, I was going to talk to you about her. She is amazing. I mean, she went to Wake Forest and she got to know Arnold Palmer. And, she went to the Palmer house with one of her friends and she was shown his room full of putters. And all Palmer wanted to know about was Iceland for fishing, because he'd been bored silly of talks about fishing in Iceland by Jack Nicklaus, and he wanted to know all about it.
So he wanted to hear if it was true what Jack Nicklaus was saying.
Yes, that's right. But the interesting thing is about there were owned, in the 90s, I think there were just four golf courses, and now there are over 60.
Wow.
And apart from having better courses, they've got better weather. And a lot of it's obviously down to global warming. But one of the professionals from up there told me a very interesting thing, and that is that he used to sell a lot of hand warmers to the members, and now he doesn't even bother to stock them because they don't need them. Now, that could just mean that Icelandic people are very tough. But,
yes, but I got a feeling that if everything's getting nicer up in Iceland, it says something to all of us here around the equator. Oh, not that we're close to it, but we're closer to it than, yes. You know what I mean. It's always
yes.
a pleasure talking with you. Lewin Mair, you're going to be over at the Women's British Ricoh Women's British Open. You're going to be on course and following the ladies?
Yes, I am, yes.
Fabulous. I'll always love talking to you because I learned things that I never knew, and you are a wonderful person to have on the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Danielle. Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to come back. Matt Cooper, golf writer for Golf365.com. That's Golf365.com is with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative! Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Let's go to the UK. Matt Cooper, freelance golf writer, golf365.com is where I found a really cool article. If you're watching the senior men's over the senior open at Royal Portcawl at it's in Wales. Okay, so it's in Wales, and you look at these really fabulous golf courses on television. There are lots of fabulous golf courses in Wales that have nothing to do with any of these events and probably are very affordable. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm fine. I am laughing as you are raving about Royal Portcawl. Very good pronunciation, by the way. Because I've been to Royal Portcawl twice in October, and both times I had beautiful blue skies, beautiful warm skies, the golf course to myself, and this week in the middle of July, the courses, the conditions are absolutely terrible. The golfers have faced driving wind and rain all week, so it's been more like October this week and more like July when I've been there in October.
Oh, it's absolutely, we know it's beautiful because we've seen it when it is beautiful, and that's part of the game. You know, the game comes with the weather. We play outdoors, and the conditions make it interesting. Women are experiencing it right now at the Aberdeen Lady Scottish Open, right? So it's in their tough. I've been talking with Lewin and Kari Webb doing fabulous. And until a few minutes ago, I thought Christy Kerr was going to be tied with Kari Webb and go into the final round. But it looks like Si-Yong Kim has come on very strong and going into the final round against Kari Webb, or paired against her at least. I didn't see that final, whatever happened to Christy. Did you notice? Did you see that?
Well, I didn't see what happened to Christy, but the final couple of holes were played in absolutely appalling conditions.
Aha.
The interesting thing with Se-Yong Kim is that she won't have encountered quite the cold and wet associated with the wind of today. But if you look at her record, she's probably the best player on the LPGA in wind. In previous occasions when she's done well in it, it's been like places like the Bahamas and Hawaii, where she has an exceptional record. So very different to the cold wind and rain of today. But it doesn't surprise me that she's coped with it.
Well, she has.
She's got, it's very strange, actually. When she plays the Women's British Open next week, it will only be her second Women's British Open.
But I had her on the short list ahead of next week, and this week's only enhancing that theory that she's just an exceptional golfer and wins.
Excellent. Let me ask you about Aditi Ashok. She,
yep.
19 years old. She did not make the cut this week, but she has amazing goals. Her goal is to be Rookie of the Year on the LPGA, and that's not that far-fetched, is it?
No. There's a fascinating little story about Aditi, which I picked up at the European Tour's British Masters last year, because the sponsor of a little sort of event they have quite regularly on the European Tour called the Hero Challenge, when they have a sort of one hole under floodlight. They had one at the Scottish Open two weeks ago. And that's sponsored by Hero, who are a Indian automobile company, and they sponsor the Indian Open. And an Indian journalist was telling me last year at the British Masters in sort of October time that Aditi Ashok had been offered to them as a potential player for them to sponsor. And the deal that was offered to her wasn't deemed good enough by her team. And a few months later, she was actually playing in the Indian Open sponsored by Hero. And I can remember thinking back to this conversation with this guy and thinking, here's a girl who's got a point to prove. When she's about to play a tournament sponsored by a company she doesn't think have given her a promising enough deal. And Julie, that was the tournament, that was her first win on tour. Sort of confirming the reputation that she's kind of gleaned from. I think if you remember, she did quite well early on in the Olympics last year.
Yes.
That was kind of the first time that everybody got an idea of how promising a player she was. Yeah, she did well in Europe last year, but I think it's quite surprising that she's done as successfully as she has on the LPGA this year. But yeah, definitely a very promising player. I'd be a little bit surprised if she does well in the sort of filthy conditions of Scotland if it maintains itself next week, which I'm hoping it doesn't. But if the wind and rain continues, it'd be pretty tough for her to back that up. But definitely a promising golfer.
Yeah, she didn't make the cut for this event. So,
no.
You know, and again, she travels well, but the conditions of the course right now with the weather, very difficult. I need to ask you about the state of the Ladies European Tour, because I keep hearing rumors of there being only 6 events played so far and sponsors pulling out. What's going on? What's the story?
Well, it's a difficult one. You can look at it from 2 perspectives. The one perspective is that if you look at the European Tour, that's the men's tour, they have continued to be able to get big companies sponsoring events, but only on the proviso that they get a high quality golfers playing in them. And that's why they've been able to bolster the schedule with the Rolex Series. Other than that, they have also struggled to get events on continental Europe in the last few years. So that kind of gives you a hint that it's very difficult to get tournaments being played in Europe at the moment. Now, if you take it a bit further down, the senior tour that the European Tour organises, that has had a real problem in the last few years with the schedule being decimated to the point where this year they actually started playing events with just 56 players rather than sort of 96. Now, that's another sort of hint of the difficulties that there are in Europe at the moment, and that has badly hit the Ladies European Tour. So it's the case that this year there are players like Georgia Hall, who's currently top 10 in this week's Scottish Open, and who did exceptionally well last year. The last 5 final events of last year, she finished top 10. She's probably going to make her Solheim Cup debut in next month. She's a very, very promising golfer. This year, she has played, I think, 5 times in Europe. And if you look at the schedule, there was the Spanish Open towards the end of April, and then there has been nothing in Europe until this week in Scotland. So that's what, May, all of May, all of June, nothing. Which is such a huge contrast to sort of 4 or 5 years ago, when you would have expected there would have been sort of 8, 9 events in that run. Now, that's a massive problem. I mean, the LET has suffered more than the European Tour has, but at the same time, it kind of reflects a similar sort of situation. What they have been able to do is, towards the end of the year, they bolstered the schedule for the few events in Asia, a few events in the Middle East. But the difficulty for the players is from the point of view of your listeners, if you were to equate the amount of money that's on offer in a major European tour event, the regular tour event, some of them are better than San Etra, but quite a lot are very similar. And the problem is that whereas once you're on the San Etra, you're just traveling around the States, if you're on the LET, if those events are in the Middle East and Asia, that means you have huge travel costs to take into account. So compared to sort of 5 years ago, a player ranked about 50th on the LET is currently having fewer starts. And then when they do have starts, the costs involved in playing in them are greater. And the truth is that the prize funds haven't really increased. So they're actually sort of paying more to potentially get less money.
It's really a shame because the LET is such a great tour when I've been able to see it on Golf Channel, very rarely though, and some of a really good talent comes out. Is there any talk, is there any talk of possibly teaming up with the LPGA?
Well, it's a strange one. You hear so many rumors. I could probably give you 10 different rumors that I've heard. Some people desperately want the LET to have much smaller fields every week. Other people think they should just accept any sort of prize fund for any tournament. Because the LET does have a sort of second tier circuit, rather like the Symetra. But of course that's even, the prize funds are even smaller. Some people think they should be incorporated into the LET. Other people say that the LPGA has offered to help out, and it's been rejected. Mm. Other people suggest that private funders should come in. So it's very difficult to know exactly
what's going on.
Truth and what they're saying.
Yeah. Matt Cooper, golf writer, golf365.com, and freelance, really a pleasure talking with you. I hope you feel better.
Yes, sorry, I must apologize for being a bit blocked up and coughing. I'm trying to cough off.
I know. Well, take care of yourself. You're going to the Ricoh Women's British Open. Have a great time.
Thank you very much.
Aloha. We'll catch up again, okay?
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Good. Thank you. We're going to come back. We're going to the Big Island. Scott Bridges, Keolu Adhualalai, Director of Golf, I've made him. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website.
website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Now, into the clubhouse, Scott Bridges, PGA, Four Seasons Resort, Hualalai, the Keolu course. Hey, Scott.
Aloha.
It's good to hear your voice, and what a beautiful, I mean, some people may know Scott from the Maui connection, others from the Lorena Ochoa Golf Academy connection, and now you're back in Hawaii, and you're at Hualalai. Are you enjoying it?
Yes. Yeah. It is a fantastic job.
Yeah. Now, see, I've made you director of golf, because I've just said golf professional. And so what do you do?
Well, I am just a golf professional here. We do have a director of golf, Brendan Moynihan. So I just take care of the wonderful members that we have here at Keolu.
So Keolu is members only. You have to be a resident of the Hualalai area?
That is correct.
Anyone who you become a part of the Hualalai community by become, you know, into the club? How does it work?
Yes. So once you purchase here, then you can become a member of the club, which also gets you, you know, the beach canoe club, other amenities here at the resort, not only just golf, but the whole resort in general.
Sounds beautiful. The golf course is Keolu, Tom Weisskopf. It's on the Big Island, Hawaii Island, the largest of the Hawaiian islands. It's a private, member-only golf course. But think of this, the lava, the sand, and the greens. You know, I just was reading in your online, collapsed lava tube on the first hole, caves, lava blisters and arches that make this a very dramatic golf course. What are lava blisters?
That's a real good question. But I believe it's when you go to find your ball and you fall in there, you end up getting a lava blister. That would be my best guess. I'm not sure what a lava blister is.
Yeah, thank you. I was kind of like, lava blisters? I've never heard of those things. The golf ball into lava pretty much makes the ball unplayable, correct?
It does. It definitely scuffs it up, but we do have people that enjoy taking the scuffs off to continue to play, but it's good.
Okay. The back nine is 3,600 from the farthest tees and 3,400 from the championship tee. How's that possible? See, I'm all confused about what I read online. The back nine have gentle slopes and panoramic ocean views. But the grasses are, let's see, Tiff Way 2 and Tiff Eagle. Is that right?
That's correct. When they first built up here, they only did the back nine first. So we had 27 holes for a while, and then they ended up building the front nine after. So the grasses could have changed, and they could have used different grasses but they blend really good together. You wouldn't notice.
Beautiful.
There's two different types of grasses, but. The back nine definitely plays a little bit harder because it is the last two holes, 17 or 18, are going uphill, and they're quite impressive finishing holes.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Seeing the photos, it's absolutely beautiful. Now, check this out. The sand for the bunkers is a custom-made blend imported from China for its consistency, playability, and color. Now, I've always known that sand gets imported, and a lot of time was spent by Ernie Els when he was trying to decide what sand to put over at the golf course in Eva.
Right.
Right? So it was like, do we go with Australian sand or China sand? What's the difference between Australian sand and sand from China?
That's another good question. It's just by the grain. I mean, there's silicone sand, and there's regular sand, and there's, it's just the grain of the the sand itself. You know, sometimes you get that real fluffy sand, but the sand here is, again, very consistent, easy to hit out of. And I think that's what we were trying to achieve.
Yeah, you don't want here. Your members suffering.
Correct. We don't. That's not a good deal.
They won't want to play the course.
Exactly.
So do you give lessons?
I do. I do give lessons and give a lot of lessons, actually, because we do have the hotel entity also. So I go back and forth between the two golf courses. And so it's good.
Yeah. And if I stay at Hualalai at the hotel, does that give me playing privileges at Keoldu?
No, you have to be a member. It's strictly a member only golf course.
Wow. How many members do you have?
Over 300.
Wow. How nice. Just 300 people playing a golf course.
Well, and magnificent. You know, they're not here
all the time.
All at the same time. So, you know, there's days we watch grass grow, but it's all right.
Yes. This is wonderful. And when you were watching, I imagine you're still watching, like, you know, the Open and events like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're watching television and you look at something like Royal Birkdale, it's difficult to see anything in Royal Port Call right now because it's just so wet.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really show off the course very well. I thought Birkdale looked absolutely fabulous. What does your eye as a professional pick out when you're looking at a television screen?
When I kind of look at lines, you know, the way they tee off and, you know, trees that define the golf course, and, you know, over in Europe, they have different lines compared to us. And that's what I heard them talking about also, that, you know, there's not too much, shaping of the holes. But what I saw last week, I really enjoyed the look of the golf course and how the bunkers were defining it. And, I thought it was, well done, and being from Dallas, it was great to see another Dallas person win the thing. So yeah. that was fantastic.
So when you're watching, you kind of figure out where you would hit the golf ball?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's you know, from their perspective, it doesn't show it all the time. But yes, I would look at different lines and what kind of shot I would try to play.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's a whole different perspective than us just watching somebody play.
You know, correct.
Yeah, that adds a whole different element. So you're kind of virtually playing the game and seeing where the shot, the person actually is striking the ball and where it goes, and maybe making a comparison in your mind of how that would have played out had you shot it. Something was brought up earlier. Lewin Mayer was on, and she was at the Open, reporting for Global Golf Post. She said the bunkers at Royal Birkdale were so tiny. A 6'4" Matt Kuchar was extremely uncomfortable, she thought, in something that had no space for him. Is that true for a tall person?
Well, you know, being vertically challenged myself,
yes.
I can't really speak for him. But yes, I would have fit in those bunkers very, very nicely. But yeah, I can imagine if you're tall and trying, because I saw a couple of his shots where he really had to get the knee bend in there. And,
yeah.
That's not a comfortable.
No, and he was trying to figure out where to put his legs. You know, do
correct.
I bend down here? Do I?
But see, I probably wouldn't have been able to reach that ball. So at least he was able to reach the ball. I would have.
I never thought of you as vertically challenged. That's an adorable statement right there. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And when we were talking too about the comparison between the PGA Tour and the LPGA, when you watch the women play, what are your thoughts about how the women play golf?
I think the women are really good, and I think a lot of people can more relate to the distances they hit the ball. Obviously, there's a few of them that hit it really far, but I think what people tell me, they enjoy watching that better than the men, just because, you know, you can't relate to a 350-yard drive every time or 360. And
right.
And so, you know, I think that tour is going to really keep getting stronger and stronger, just because I think people enjoy watching, you know, real golf instead of so-called fantasy golf.
Yeah.
Those guys are so good.
Michael Wan's doing a great job as commissioner of the LPGA. It's phenomenal, the difference. Embracing the international aspect of it and really getting behind that has made all the difference in the world. And then, of course, then as the tour gets stronger, then the U.S. companies glom on, and they want to be a part of this phenomenon that is now the international, this almost Olympics LPGA that happens on a weekly basis. And it's fantastic to watch. And someone also said on the show that now that they're learning English, you know, it's they become even more relatable as Korean stars. They become our stars too, and it's fun. And you probably heard Matt Cooper in Europe talking about, and he covers European golf, talking about the LET having such a struggle. I think it's such a shame that, you know, I know, understand not wanting to give up your identity, but to not want to somehow connect like they are right now. It's a co-sanctioned event, this Aberdeen Asset Management Ladies Scottish Open. They're together, LPGA, LET. And if they couldn't do that more often, all of their players would benefit from it.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think, and that's the way it should go. I mean, it's just keeps growing the game too. And when people can see that you don't have to hit it 300 yards off the tee to play this game, it's better for all of us.
You know what? Somebody said they did the stats and they discovered that women are actually better than men.
Well, yeah. Isn't that true in everything?
You're a smart man. Oh my, Scott Bridges.
They actually had to do a study. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, they just studied the stats. It's something guys like to do anyway, right? I mean,
I
the statistics, but they're so important when you get good. Then you can find out where you need to work more on your game, right? I mean, you can find out where your trouble spots are.
Correct.
Yeah. People take that, you know, like, oh, I don't know what's really well. Keep, you know, figure out, look what you're doing, write that down, and then look at, but that's like homework. I need somebody to do that for me. Lazy me. Scott Bridges, PGA golf professional, Four Seasons Resort, Hualalai, Keolu. Are you allowed to take friends on the course?
No, just got to play with the members, but maybe you, I can take out.
Trying to find myself a little spot. I'll just walk. I'll just carry your bag.
Okay, that's good.
Scott Bridges, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later. Aloha.
Okay, Farmer Lee Jones. All right. You've met Golf Kitchen founder and CEO Diana DeLuzia. You've met Golf Kitchen featured chef who work inside the world's top private country clubs. Some have gardens. I mean, you know, Jose Carle had a garden right outside his door, and he would go fish in the ocean, and he would catch his fresh fish, and he'd go out in his garden and see what had ripened and was ready, and then he'd create his menu. Doesn't that sound amazing? But of course, most don't. And many turn to Farmer Lee Jones and his family's The Chef's Garden in Ohio to provide the very best produce possible. The Chef's Garden, co-owner with his father and brother, is Farmer Lee Jones. You can find more about Farmer Lee Jones and The Chef's Garden at chefs/garden.com. Okay? And Farmer Lee is going to be on right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay at home, but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative. Meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene. See, home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7, it's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you, for your parents, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassles, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
He's a James Beard Foundation Who's Who in Food and Beverage Award recipient. He's an in-demand speaker and expert on sustainable agriculture. Farmer Lee Jones serves on boards for Chef Magazine, Chef Concept, Modern Farmer, and he was the first farmer ever to judge the popular Food Network show Iron Chef America. Welcome into the clubhouse, Farmer Lee Jones.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. we're all the way over in Hawaii, and I've been hearing something, a movement afoot that has a lot to do with gardening and sustainability. There's a gentleman in, and he's doing this as an individual. There's so much land around the United States of America, and he's in Maine and in Florida. And what he's doing, he's gardening in people's yards, front lawns, that they're not taking care of. They don't have the time. They don't even know how to use to take care of their lawn necessarily. He's gardening their lawns and then giving them a portion of the proceeds of the crop. The rest he sells. And then he goes between Florida and Maine and he does this, and it's making everybody happy. It's, to me, incredible how we're finally waking up to utilizing the land and taking care of it, and it's taking care of us. And it seems that you, Farmer Lee Jones, have been doing this for a long time. How did you and your family get so entrenched into this excellent, you make the best produce. The chef from around the world wants your produce. How did this all come about?
Desperation, I guess. We're in an amazing microclimate. We're right along the shores of Lake Erie in Huron, Ohio. And Lake Erie is the shallowest of all the Great Lakes. Consequently, it's the warmest. And the soil is all lake bottom about 11,000 years ago. Some of the richest sandy loam in the world. And my parents were in commercial vegetable production. And ultimately, the business failed in the early 80s. Interest rates hit 21%. And we had a devastating hailstorm, and it broke their back, and we lost the farm. We met, consequently, when we started over, a European-influenced chef who was looking for product without chemical, product for flavor rather than tons per acre. And she introduced us to our first chef in, like, 1983, and it really changed our world. And so, really, for the last 35 years, we've been attempting to do, as my father said, get as good as the growers were 100 years ago. Wow. Danielle, you know, you think about it, you know, it was pre-chemical, pre-synthetic fertilizer, rebuilding the soil through a natural process rather than a chemical.
Absolutely. Just to share, when I lived with my grandmother in Switzerland in the Alps, everybody has a little garden. And she had a large one because she had a pension and cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner for her guests. And the garden fed everyone. And, you know, we weren't as amazingly innovative as you. We didn't actually have a harvest in the winter. But I understand that the chef's garden, you have crops coming up, not just in the summer, the spring, the fall, but you also have crops in the winter. How do you do that?
Well, certainly in a lot of ways, again, going back to winter storage, everybody used to have a root cellar.
Yeah.
So some of that is taking place, and we're duplicating those root cellar conditions, harvesting in the fall. But also, we're using solar energy, capturing what Mother Nature provides us. We use cold frame concepts where we capture the solar energy from the sun. And it's unbelievable. Some of our very best crops, we think, come when we have cooler temperatures. The product grows slowly, and we have a tagline of that we grow vegetables slowly and gently in full accord with nature. And one of our most exciting products is what we call ice spinach. And I don't know if your listeners have ever heard of or are familiar with ice wine, but it's the same concept where you harvest the grape after it's been exposed to really cold temperatures. But this spinach will freeze at night, thaw during the day, freeze at night, thaw during the day. You can't harvest it frozen or it would crumble like a dried leaf. But you let it slowly thaw out during the day in these cold frames and harvest it. And it actually pulls the natural sugars up. Some of the spinach, the ice spinach that we harvest in the wintertime from the cold frames, actually will test with a refractometer, which is a device to measure the natural sugars, will test as sweet as a red delicious apple. Pretty amazing. We do some greenhouses, and then we actually have found a way to be able to use our neighbor's corn cobs, which are a byproduct of the seed corn that they produce, and they normally have to pay to haul this away. But we put in boiler systems in a greenhouse, and we use corn cobs to heat the greenhouse. It's more environmentally friendly, and of course, not using the fossil fuels to heat the greenhouse. And so really, an amazing way to be able to repurpose a waste product to be able to heat the greenhouse.
So this is Chef, this is Farmer Lee Jones. You sound like a chef the way you're talking. You're like a chef of the garden, the way you're creating food. And I was thinking of the spinach, you know, it's working so hard to survive the freeze. It comes up and it goes, okay, I'm going to suck up some more nutrients because it's going to be cold again tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
we do the same thing with carrots and beets and turnips, watermelon, radishes. We grow about 600 different products, and we deliver direct to chefs, and we also make the product available via online to consumers that can go online and order the product.
So you supply
deliver it direct.
Yeah, you supply a lot of resorts with your produce, so the golf resorts could appreciate your produce as well.
Absolutely. They're some of our very best customers because quality is always at the bottom of everything that they're looking for. Is, you know, they want the best.
Yeah, the best quality, the best taste. And tell us a bit more, because I understand that residential customers, if we live in the United States, we can also purchase from you.
Absolutely. You can go online. It's not a traditional CSA where you kind of get whatever the farmer has too much of. This, you can actually go online and pick what you'd like and you order specifically, and we'll ship that directly to you. What's cool about it is that we don't pick it until a chef or an individual orders it. And so the inventories are taken from a growing inventory. Literally every day we use handheld scanners. And we inventory what we have growing, and we make that product available, and we pick it literally to order.
You can find The Chef's Garden at chefs-garden.com, and you can see the story of Farmer Lee Jones and his father and his brother. They work together. They're co-owners of The Chef's Garden. It's a private business. It's a operating farm, so you can't just go in over there. I mean, I understand you make appointments for someone like a chef from Savonic who would want to go in and check it out. You can do that.
Absolutely. We also have a facility called the Culinary Vegetable Institute, where our chefs can come and do R&D and R&R. But we also make that available for dinners, and people can come to the dinners that are open to the public. But it's not just my dad and my brother and I. I mean, it's a family business. My son Aaron is involved. My wife is involved. I have a niece involved. We also have 160 full-time team members that that are part of our extended family, and they work full-time on the farm. Some of what we're doing, we're harvesting even with scissors. I mean, this is artisan farming at its best. It's picked to order, and it's brought in out of the greenhouses or the fields and washed and cleaned and packaged, even by the count. A lot of the packages are sold by the count, and then they're shipped directly to the country club or the resort or restaurant, wherever. We go as far as the Mandarin Oriental, Hong Kong, twice a week, wherever we find a chef that wants the very best quality for their guests. It's not only about flavor, it's about the nutrition and the health and the vitality of that vegetable.
Can we take a quick break and come back and talk with you some more, Farmer Lee Jones?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back, and then we'll wrap up the show with Farmer Lee Jones right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative.
Experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
You've met Golf Kitchen founder and CEO Diana DeLucia. You've met Golf Kitchen's featured chef who worked inside the world's great top private country clubs. And many of those chefs turn to the Chef's Garden for nutritious, delicious vegetables and produce for their kitchens. And we're meeting Farmer Lee Jones today. I have to ask you what it was like hosting Iron Chef America, judging, not hosting.
It was amazing. Went into New York City at Chelsea's Market where the studio was, and a lot of the chefs that are on there, I've actually judged about six times. And a lot of the chefs that I've judged are people that have been somebody I've looked up to and mentored me along the way. And to be able to go there and judge it, very, very exciting. I had a blast doing it.
I bet. Now, I've got to ask you, when you say mentored me, how does a chef help the farmer?
Well, when we started back over in the early 80s, it was a different world for us because we were farming commercially. We were farming chemically. And a lot of the influence came from European chefs that had seen a different way. It had existed in America, that way of farming, but we had lost it. We allowed a disconnect to happen in the United States. And so they helped sort of guide us back to the future, if that makes sense.
It does.
In many ways, we're trying to get as good as the farmers were 100 years ago, looking for ways to rebuild those nutrients in a natural process rather than chemical. And there's so many chefs that have just taken us under the wing, recognized our willingness and commitment and passion to be able to do this the right way. And half of our acreage in any one year is in cover crops of different types of plants like clover and vetch and buckwheat and barley and rye to harvest the sun's energy to put it back into the soil so that then when we plant the plant that we want to consume, they pick those back up, and when we eat them, it builds our immune system to defend against the diseases in the first place.
Doesn't it give you chicken skin? That's what we say in Hawaii when we talk about goosebumps. It's just, it's such a connection. The Chef's Garden started the farm to table movement 30 years ago with earth to table philosophy, which we're talking about right now. Farmer Lee Jones, have you heard about these farms cropping up on people's front lawns, people who are farming land that's not being used, just sitting out, wasted? Even somebody was talking about some of the highway strips, you know. I don't know if all of the exhaust would do those vegetables much good, but there's a lot of land that could be farmed.
Absolutely. I think it's wonderful. You know, in Europe, they say that it's an 80% plant-based diet, 20% protein. In America, it's an 80% protein, 20% plant-based. Now, that's the bad news, but the good news is there were more vegetable seeds sold in the United States last year than ever before in the history of the United States. I think we're reconnecting. It's so important for us to know where the food is coming from, who's growing it, how they're growing it, and the fact that people are interested in growing their own vegetables. I think it's wonderful. And to see more consumption of fresh vegetables is really going to be what helps sustain us into the future.
Yeah, and people saying, you know, I don't use that lawn. You want to farm my lawn? Fine. I'll take the vegetables. This is Farmer Lee Jones, the Chef's Garden co-owner with his father and brother and his whole family. If you'd like to get produce from Farmer Lee Jones and the Chef's Garden, go to www.chefs/garden.com and you'll find them there. Thanks so much for being in the clubhouse.
Thank you so much for having me.
Aloha. Farmer Lee Jones, and thank you to everyone who's been on the show today. To Matt Adams for joining us on his in the airport on his way to his next destination. To Lewin Mayer on her way from the Women's Scottish Open over to the RICO Women's British Open. Matt Cooper on his way to the Women's British Open. Of course, Scott Bridges safely ensconced at home at the beautiful Keolu at Hualalai. And I want to thank the people who make this show possible. Futuristone, master craftsman turning your building or your warehouse, your showroom. Hey, your home project, your work project, you've got an idea, run it by the folks at Futuristone. Only the best. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach, Aimpoint Certified, and Golf Channel Lead Coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau, and he's on Maui at the Kahili Course. Creative plumbing, whether a building, you know, you're a warehouse, you got plumbing, you're a shopping center, a store, it doesn't matter the size, the type, a custom home or a townhouse, whether you're a new build, you're starting from scratch, you're tearing it all apart, you're starting over again, or you're just going to renovate, or you need to repair. Call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. They are Creative Plumbing. Rainer Doors. Okay, so you want to improve the value of your home. There's one way to do it. That would be painting. The second best way to do it is installing a garage door. And if you're going to install a garage door, you need a Rainer door, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. That's right. The Lamborghini showroom is protected by the Rainer door, providing lasting security and safety for your business, your home. It's Rainer Doors. And when I talk about Allen Nakata and Associates, I mean, need help? Well, they're taking care of parents and spouses and relatives, helping you do that. You can help them help you meal planning and prep. You go in and talk to them, talk about what you need.
light housekeeping, you know, just some assistance bathing and hygiene, a few hours a day, some home care to give peace of mind to you, because you'd like to be there all the time and take care of it, but you're still working. So maybe a few hours a week or 24/7, you choose the hours. That's Need Help. The number is 548-7526. So we are the Golf Club Radio Show, and you can find all of my shows at radiogolfclub.com. I've got my entire archive there, so if you wanted to hear a show or you wanted to hear somebody talk, all the people are listed, and their photographs and the companies they belong to, all listed next to their photographs, and you just click on the link and you will get to hear the show. It goes back to, I think, 07. Before that, it was all on cassette. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2017.